Anthony, you're watching Inter Worldwide, and it is my pleasure to say that this video is sponsored by Serie A Fantasy, a brand new, inclusive, and interactive fantasy football platform where you can put your knowledge to the test and compete against your friends in this new Serie A Fantasy Football League. So guys, let's have a little bit of a look at it. It's very generous. It works the same way any other fantasy football league would. You get a fair bit of money in this one, guys. You get about 100 euro to spend off the back. And look at this team. How stacked is my team? It already looks like it's cheating when you're putting Pellegrini, Barella, Zaccagni, Kessié, Abraham, Lautaro Martinez, and Vlahovic in the same team. Guys, you're really going to have to pick a bone with your high-performing players who don't come to play for you. That's all I'm going to say right there. So, what exactly is Serie A Fantasy and how does it work and how are we going to make it work here on Inter Worldwide? So what you're going to do is you're going to go into leagues. There will be a few leagues set up for you that you compete in every single week automatically, like the round, the quad, and a couple of other ones as well, in which there'll be prizes involved. But what you guys are going to do is you're going to click private leagues and you are going to use this code on your screen right now. That will sign you up for the Inter Worldwide Serie A Fantasy League. And guys, you won't be able to hide behind your opinions in the chats anymore. What you say will be on your starting lineup. So put your knowledge to the test. Let's walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Guys, the schedule and results will always be up for you to look at as well. And the best part about it, there are many great prizes to be won. First place in one of the regular weekly or quad competitions will get you a second place Serie A scarf. Third place is a potential cup or hat. But the first prize is a jersey. You're going to want those kits. Those are good kits. More importantly, first place in the overall competition is a PS5. Second place is an iPod 8. And there's some AirPods to be won as well. Amazing prizes. Rules are up on the screen as well, guys. You end up with 3 forwards, 5 midfielders, 5 defenders and 2 goalkeepers. You can choose your formation and your players will get points based on how they perform. It's not necessarily just about having them in the right position. As long as you've got your defenders in, your midfielders in, your attackers in, you will be fine. Same rules pretty much as every other fantasy league that you go into. You will get unlimited free transfers in your first week. However, they will be costly after that. You get 1 free transfer per week after that. Guys, that's all from us here at Inter Worldwide, but please, there's the code, linked in the description for Serie A Fantasy. I look forward to playing against you guys. Forza Inter Worldwide, Forza Serie A Fantasy. Ciao ragazzi.
Yo, 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 my name is Anthony. Welcome to Inter Worldwide. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going a little bit in depth. It's a podcast. I haven't actually recorded a podcast in what feels like a long, long time, but I felt with all the announcements, midweek fixture coming up on the weekend, I thought I'd get the boys in, Christian and Mario. Mario Galliano joining me from New York. How you doing?
What's going on? Doing all right. Looking forward
That's
to
good. That's good, man. The first thing we're going to do until Christian comes back is we're going to bring the props. We're going to bring the props in because this time last week, we were coming together to talk about the game against Empoli and everything was nail on the head, right? Especially what you and Christian were saying. So for the 9 people that have joined us already, such as King Darien and Emiliano, let's just go over like that Empoli game just one more time, man. D'Ambrosio, Di Marco, everybody that we thought, everyone that you said was going to step up, stepped up. What are you saying?
That's good. I mean, we put in not our strongest formation. Obviously, we had to deal with, the rotation side of things. But it just goes to show you that when you play the players like D'Ambrosio and the Gagliardinis, that they're not going to kill you in these games. I thought Gagliardini was fine. I think, in a game like this, he didn't hurt us. Sure, he's not going to stick out like a all-star performance, but did his job, average, fine. D'Ambrosio came in. He showed us why he's on this team. He deserves every freaking dollar we pay him, if not more. Guy comes in, scores goals, saves goals on top of that. He does it all. He's important to this team like nobody, no other. I can't even start with it. Alexis. He put in a decent shift also. Both the strikers have an assist. You love to see it. Tato, we talk shit, but, he did something, so you can't really
The assist was awesome. The assist was the crowning moment for him in the game.
Yeah, so I think I called the score, didn't I? 2-0?
Yeah, I think you did, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Bruno said 4-0. Oh, maybe you said 2-1. I don't know.
No, I said 2-0.
Christian said 2-1 then, for sure. Yeah. Bro, like, some points dropped for Juve. Points gains for Milan, still basically everybody but Juve won, which leads us to the next match day. We've got Udinese. Before we go more in depth on Udinese, let's just have a little look at the match day altogether. So I think it's match day. Is it match day 10? Are we coming up to match day 10? Double digits finally? Surely.
9 or 10.
Yes. It's match day 10. I was going to say there's no way we could still be in single match digits so far this season. So some good games on besides our one. Atalanta and Lazio kick it off. Verona and Juventus. You know, the assistant manager for Verona is Igor Tudo, who was the assistant coach to Andrea Pirlo at Juventus.
I
don't know if I'm saying the name right, but he was the assistant coach to Pirlo at Juventus, and ever since he arrived at Verona, bro, that's when they started putting up their points this season. So who knows, bro? He could come back to bury them. He really could. That's going to be a really good game, Atalanta Lazio, and that's at a time where I can still watch it.
Yeah, it's not bad. Verona's who they steal points from this year so far? They stole points from someone.
They drew to Udinese last week. They pumped Lazio 4-1, remember, about a week ago?
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's the one. They absolutely ran through them in the first half. They were beaten by Milan towards the end of the game, but they pumped Spezia as well. I reckon they can give Juve a run. Juve look rattled. What do you think?
Yeah, Juve's there, but it's one of those games where it's like they played so shitty and like they're coming off a pretty big loss that they have to bounce back. And if Allegri is as good as we think he is, or as we say he is, or he's done in the past, they should, you know, come back with the bang and put 3-4 goals in. But, you know, I don't know what they're doing, what they plan to do, if they're going to use their strongest lineups. Because, you know, they're heavy hitters. The Chiesa's not hitting yet. Whatever it is, it's not working.
Roma-Milan at 6:45 a.m. Monday for me. That's a big game, bro. If there's going to be a team that might get Milan to drop their first big points in a while, it could be Mourinho's Roma. Although they don't look that solid, but they might have a point to prove.
Yeah, definitely. Mourinho's going to show up for these big games. He's going to put whatever he can, and then he's going to talk his shit after. So I'm looking forward to that. I might try to watch it depending on the time that it's at. Roughing all weekend, so I'm not gonna watch too much.
The fixtures are piling up, mate. That's all it is. There's so many. There's way too many games. There's too many games for these people to be playing. Anyway, let's go over to the lineups for Inter versus Udinese. We're back at the Miazza, man. And like those points against Empoli, they were hard points. We said it; those were going to be hard points. And if we walked away with those points, we'd be feeling really good about ourselves. Which is exactly what we did. So I'll share my screen again and we'll go over to Sky Sports. We'll go over to Probabile Formazione. Handanovic, Skriniar, Ranocchia, apparently. I don't think so, though. Bastoni, Brozovic, Vidal, Hakan, Dumfries, Perisic, Dzeko, Joaquin Correa. So a few changes. There's too many of these players haven't gotten consecutive good games under their belt for a while to be thrown in like this for me. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about wanting to see Dumfries start the run of games, but if he can't perform, there's really no point. We're not here to teach people how to play soccer and you know, work with them. We're here to win games. We're not here to, you know, we're not a charity team. And I don't think people remember that. The management isn't they don't think like us. They have a completely different perspective on the game. If Dumfries doesn't perform one game, why should he play the next game? Unless we absolutely need him to, until he proves that he deserves the next game. It's unfair to him, sure, but I mean, that's just how it goes in this organization. We've seen it time and time again.
Indrahari, the Sky Sports is on the English translation. That's why Ranocchia is called Frog and Bastoni is called Sticks, man. So there you go. Does Correa mean runs in any way, shape, or form? Does the word Correa mean something to do with run?
Yeah, like correr.
Okay, so there is some sort of context there. That's cool. With Vida, I want to see him back in. The thing with Dumfries is probably better this time because Empoli plays attacking football, whereas Udinese does not. Udinese plays on the counter, probably worse than any team in Serie A. So if anything, that's probably going to be Denzel's easiest game to not have too much pressure on him on that side. What do you think of the starting lineup and what are your thoughts going into Udinese, Christian?
That's ideal. That's how I would do it.
Joaquin finally up to fitness. So you got to give him a start and show some faith in him, right?
Yeah. Eventually he's got to figure it out.
Yeah. Perisic, I think
sticks and frogs.
Yeah. Sticks and frogs and Stretcher as well, who looks like he'll get some minutes on the bench. Perisic, though, back into the starting lineup. Looking forward to that because he's just been in form. So I think this is a game where, you know, you just got to break Udinese. You got to break him quickly. Try and not get it to halftime at nil all. Don't give him a reason to break on the counter with confidence. Get a couple of goals in the first half. Play really intensely in midfield. Win 50-50s. And I think Vidal's ready to come in for Barella in this game. I don't mind seeing that, Mario.
Yeah, definitely. Vidal, I like Vidal in this game. I hope we see D'Ambrosio starting in center back or is like maybe even over Dumfries. You know, I think he'll be featured because especially after the game he put in last week, you kind of have to put him in again, especially because it's not against the top team. Why not?
Yeah. And what about Hakan coming back in? You okay with that, Christian?
I mean, I prefer you got to give Barella some rest, but honestly, I would be with Dalin. Barella would be my midfield with Brozo.
Yeah, I think ideally that would be the case, but Sheriff and then the Milan derby back-to-back, I think that's what Inzaghi's got to have his eye on there at the moment. We need the 3 points midweek because I think we're going to Moldova. Is that right for that game?
Yeah,
we are. So we're going to be traveling to Moldova, starting Barella and then hoping that he can back it up with another 90 minutes in the derby following that up. So We just got to get some easy points here. With Ranocchia coming in, he was expected to come in the last game, wasn't he? Sky Sports got that one wrong, I think. Yeah. De Vrij rested the last. Was it De Vrij that rested against Empoli or was it Skriniar?
It was De Vrij.
That's right. So De Vrij to get some rest again, possibly. I don't think you can rest Skriniar at the moment at all. I think he's really the only lock in the starting 11, would you say, Christian?
No, because he rested him for D'Ambrosio.
That's right. He did too.
Skriniar, no?
Skriniar. Yeah. Man, there's too many games. I don't know which game is which at the moment, man. Right. I really don't. But Darmian looking to get some rest as well, which is good because we'll need him on the defensive end. In the Milan derby, that's a game where Darmian probably plays 94 minutes, to be honest. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's go over to Udinese. Let's see where some of the threats are going to come from. Udinese, there we go. Decent start to the season for them, although they have only won two games in their opening nine. 2 wins, 5 draws, 3 losses, 11 points. That's an average of 1.1 per game, ranked 14th in Serie A. Shit home record with only 1 win, but you know, a team that can get crappy points, a team that can really get crappy points from you. Mario, remember when Conte took over and we were like, we need to start winning against these teams, your Torinos, your Udineses, your Cagliaris, your Sampdorias, and that's what we did. So we can't be going back to drawing and dropping points against these sort of teams. These are the 3-point teams that you need to make sure you're thereabouts at the end of the season. So talk a little bit about the rivals here, Udinese, Mario, and how you think the game's going to go.
I don't know anybody on this team. I know Noy Tink, and I know Stigar Larsson, and kind of
Perea.
That's about it. Everyone else, I've never heard of in my life. Beto.
Right, it could also be a bad translation, man, for Sky Sports. I don't know.
I mean, these are like people it's that rainy. You've heard of. You know, there's not like awesome. Whatever. But I don't know. Without DePaul and some of the other guys that they had like in and out of the lineups, Stigar Larsson, I think he might even come on as a sub because. From what I do remember from like the past seasons and earlier this season, he's been subbing on. So I don't know if he's going to start, and he's a pretty piece of shit.
I'm surprised to not see Deulofeu starting there. I kind of expect him to play.
He'll probably be over Stigar Larsson, and that's my only change with this lineup probably. Other than that, it doesn't look too strong, super beatable. The defensive line, I don't think it's really strong at all. I think Wallace is a center back, not a defensive mid, if he's the guy from Lazio. He's not that great. No, he thinks okay. He's an aerial threat. That's about it. Samir, I don't remember him being good. Pereira, if you give him a chance, he might score, but that's about it. It's really nothing there.
It's not the strongest side. Molina as well. I know he's a Boca Juniors youth product, but nothing special either. Christian, do you really feel threatened by this lineup at all, man?
Nah, not really. I think it'll be another 3-0. Something like that. 2-0, 3-0.
We just got to make sure we get a goal before halftime, I reckon. Try not to drag this one out.
This is going to be one of those confidence-boosting games. You get two back-to-back wins in a big game, like big margins, then everybody's going to be like, oh, they're the team to beat. They're in form, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, fair call.
Chalhanoglu to show up.
For sure.
Get his confidence up. Let Inzaghi know that, you know, he's capable of playing against anybody. Like Gagliardini, like I said before, Gagliardini came in, did his job. You can trust him in that stupid position. With Chalhanoglu, you know, like he was big in the last game he played in, where he got the Deco assist. But and he's just inconsistent. Milan fans warned us about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Indro says Barella needs rest. Maybe rotate with Brozovic in this game. We need Brozo and Barella fit and ready for the Milan derby. Yeah, man. In an ideal world, we close this game out nice and early so you can bring in some good substitutions and rotate with some depth. Alexis had a really good game against Empoli. Like, it really wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to give him another start, would you say, Christian?
I probably would save him for Sheriff.
Yeah? You'd start him against Sheriff?
I would start him and Joaquim against Sheriff.
Him and Joaquin against Sheriff? You'd bench Dzeko and Lautaro for Sheriff just so they can start the derby? But Sheriff is also a must-win, man. Maybe Inzaghi would feel safer with at least one of Dzeko or Lautaro starting. Possibly. I think you're always going to see one of them start.
I still think that we'll probably blow them out and we'll still advance, but I still think that all eyes got to be on the derby just to play catch-up. That's the more important game to me.
It's the most important game coming up, that's for sure. We're going to close that gap.
28 and we're at what? 21? We're 7 points?
Yeah, it's 7 beat points.
Beat them and it goes to 4 points. Don't forget Napoli's about to have a run of hard games. They also got to play Roma. So say they lose to Roma, we beat them, now it's 1 point.
Yeah, it's time to start closing the gap pretty soon.
Yeah, the thing is everybody's in panic mode already. We're at the same exact point we were last year. 21 points, everything's the same. What are you tripping about?
Yeah, and that's with, you know, selling the players that were making up and breaking up the goals, and that's with everybody saying we're going to lose 9 to 12 points straight off the bat. So
Milan are having fantastic seasons. You can't stop that. This is one of those things where, okay, you dropped a couple points, but, like, you're not having a bad season. Like, in a normal league where Juve's killing everyone, you know, we're right up there in second place. In like a normal way, let's put it that way.
Look, bro, I'm gonna tell you like this: this isn't a sprint; it's a marathon. We did it before, where we got all the way up to winner champion, and the game right before we were in first place, and then we lost, and Napoli finished ahead of us.
With both these coaches,
so like I said, it's not a sprint; it's a marathon.
Yeah, for sure, bro.
And the thing is, I'm not trying to give Inzaghi any credit because he really doesn't deserve any either because he's never won anything outside of Coppa Italia. But these players have, so these players know what it's like to get it done.
Fair enough. Moldova away can be quite tricky. Yeah, but I feel like they've gassed it, man. Like, there's always those teams that get a little bit hypey in the first couple of games because they're new to the competition and just they look like they'll run out of pace, bro. I'm confident for that game. That's the one game that I think the 3 points will be wrapped up easily rather than the domestic ones.
It's not even that, bro. Like, at this point, yo, we're not going to win the Champions League. Just sit there. I'm going to be blunt, straight up honest. We'll probably make it to the next round and maybe the one after that, depending who we draw. But your eyes need to be on the Scudetto. It's just plain and simple. Number 20 is the move.
Yeah. This is a game for Dumfries and Joaquin to get some confidence back for Forza Inter 3-0 win. Let's hope so. Alexis deserves another start. Correa sadly still needs to prove more when he came in as a sub. Yeah, but let's just wait till he gets a few consecutive games under his belt. I'm looking forward to it, man. There's some other good news that we get to report on. There's a few things that came out during the week, which was really nice. The first one is that we have re-signed Lautaro Martinez until 2026. A fantastic deal for club and for player. And all that matters now is score goals, man. Score goals and we can all be happy. You want to stay, you can stay while you score goals. You want to score goals and get sold for something really stupid when the economy picks back up again. I don't think we'll completely not entertain the idea of that as well. So, Mario and Christian, what about Lautaro, man? Mario, over to you first. You're happy for that? I know we've been a little bit critical recently, but at the end of the day, that shouldn't change what you're doing in the back room efficiency-wise. You got to get those signatures done.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good sign that him and the club are in good standing. And we talk a lot of shit about him all the time, but he always comes through and does something productive. He scores a goal. He scores two goals. He got an assist last game. You know, like we talk a lot of shit about him because he's frustrating to watch on the 90-minute basis, but the production's there. You know how I feel about the whole thing with Icardi where he did nothing, but that's a whole completely separate thing where he fucking did nothing. It's good. It's promising, and it kind of solidifies us if we do want to sell him because it retains the value, and it improves it. Because, you know, he's got, what, until 2027 or something like that? What is it?
2026, yeah.
2026. So that's another 5 years that he's supposed to be with the Inter. And if they want to pay, you know, you gotta fix it towards that sort of thing. So it's only a benefit. He's still a great player regardless.
Yeah. Christian, are you happy with him? You think what do you think the future holds for him here, man?
Look, man, you guys gotta understand this kid hasn't even hit his prime yet, and he's still putting numbers up. Yeah, I wouldn't sell him. It's one of those things where you got one of the best young prospects. Unless something crazy comes like a Lukaku-esque deal where it's like 150 or more, I'm not even entertaining it. And the reason I say that is because of his age. You gotta take that into effect. He's still young. He's under 23, or he's at 23.
And the problem is we don't have Barcelona in the equation anymore because they have no money.
He already made it clear he'd only leave for Barca.
Yeah, now with no Messi there and then with no money, that dream's pretty much done for him anyway. Why would he want to go there? We look healthier than they do.
He wouldn't want to leave anyways. I mean, he's happy where he's at. He's got the support system. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you want somebody that's going to believe in you. The thing is, somebody like Icardi didn't appreciate that, and that's why he's in the situation he's in. But at least Lautaro sees it and he understands it and he respects it. He's got all the support there. He could have been a Bama and left, but he didn't.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Happy that Toto's staying. Good deal for everybody. And now with that new contract sorted, man, let's hopefully, because nothing would be better than him bagging a couple of goals as soon as he gets back on the pitch.
But he's still performing, bro. That's the thing. He's still working. He's still defending. He's still sitting there pressing. He won a couple balls back and almost turned something out of nothing. And we got an assist out of him. Like, you can't be mad. He might not be banging goals in, but at least he's doing other stuff that Icardi never did.
Yeah.
You can't compare them.
Nah, you can't. You really can't.
Can. One sucks and one's good.
I mean, yeah, obviously. But when it comes to, like, the whole thing where my thing is where, like, yeah, sure, he scores a goal, he gets an assist, but there's nothing to you know, like, go along with that. Lautaro works hard. He's capable.
That's my point, though.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm with you on that. That's what I'm saying. Like, when I criticize Icardi, it's not – and, like, I use that fucking whole strategy about it. It doesn't apply because they're two completely different players.
Mm. The signature that I'm most excited about happening is this director right here, the man who has really steadied what some thought was a sinking ship. But honestly, it's just looking more and more like this guy's the number one director in Italy, to be honest, man. And I'm just really happy because I've never felt safer with a director than with Beppe Marotta. And if the last 2 years, especially the last year, is anything to go by, if and when we do actually dig ourselves out of whatever is left of this financial mess and this guy actually has a few more toys to play with and a little bit more to use, we are in really, really good hands. So, Christian, what are your thoughts on this, man? You excited? You happy?
He gave the best speech earlier this week where he said the best deal was selling Lukaku and getting someone just as good. I'd say better. Zeko is miles better.
Miles better than Lukaku.
Yeah. I wouldn't have, like, yo, I didn't think he would fit in this quickly. Like, you got to give him credit. He's good on the ball. He's technically better. He searches for other players. You don't have to teach him how to have a touch. Lukaku's only scored 4 goals since the beginning of the season. He goes out, they score 5 goals.
I think more. I think they scored more than 5. Didn't they score 7?
I mean, it'd be better, bro. I think it was 5.
Anyway, like, Mario, what are you saying about having Don Beppe at the helm in charge of who he's really running everything at the moment, man, because with the lack of supervision from the Chinese, this guy's pretty much just running everything.
Shit, you're right. It was 7.
This guy's the most important person on Inter right now. Since we signed him, he's been the most important. Him, then Conte, top 2, because he's bringing all these players. He's making it all work. Because Conte could ask for the players, but Marotta gets them, pretty much. So bringing in a player like Dzeko for free, huge. Finding the players to support Dzeko, huge. Finding the Christian Eriksen for $20 million,
huge.
But that, I mean, you don't get players like that for $20 million on a regular basis unless you know what you're doing. So, you know, he's bringing in all these players in. He's managing the ship. He's saying the right things. He's looking in the right directions. And, you know, this is important for the club. As long as he's here, I have no worries.
Yeah, he gave a really good speech at the shareholders meeting a couple of days ago as well. And he just basically said that the last 2 seasons, everyone at the club there, everything has been affected, obviously, especially with the economic thing. But the winning the 19th Scudetto basically allowed them to reward their strategic vision, passion, and commitment through the current owners, who he kept saying, it doesn't look like they're going anywhere, man. And a director like Beppe probably would want something stable. And it makes me think that Suning are sticking around Christian for a while. I don't think they're going to sell for now. Unless this is all just a smokescreen to get a good deal done behind the scenes.
Well, you got to remember something. The Arabs said that they weren't going to come unless there was a stadium. They got the stadium. But why would you leave now that you got the stadium?
Does it raise the value of the club by like a good $300 million, maybe even more? And then on top of that, I don't know financials very well, but then you could projectively review the growth over the next 10, 20 years and make it more attractive club.
At that point, though, you got to understand now the $1 billion valuation makes sense.
Right. Whereas before we were thinking this club's worth 650, 700 max, but now it's being valued at 1 billion.
Now them asking for 1 billion and they'll be like, all right, we'll give you a billion now because now you got a stadium coming.
In perfect harmony with the owners, we have set ourselves the target of combining a policy of reducing costs and salaries, which is consistent with the club's future strategy that is underpinned by stability and sustainable growth, with maintaining sporting competitiveness at the highest level. It's good. It's a good speech. It's a really, really good talk that he says, but all the PIF rumors doesn't give any sort of closure to that, any sort of closure at all. Mario, what do you think about it, man? Do you really think Inter's going to sell?
I don't know. Zhang, did they make it like their whole point of buying Inter to make a stadium and stuff like that? Wasn't this the dream? So now they have the dream. Why would they want to give that up, sort of thing? Like $1 billion, sure, it's great. But what's Inter worth to them? Like, sure, if they say $1 billion and they put their balls on the table and say, here's $1 billion, they might think twice now because, you know, they're kind of like getting what they want. They're going to get the stadium. They want, because Zhang did this. Not PIF's going to come and take over and reap all the successes. Zhang might want to just hold on just a little bit longer and see how far this thing can go.
Well, progress is being made on the deal. That's what people are saying. But in order actually finishing the stadium, it wouldn't be ready until 2027. So maybe this is it. Maybe Suninga just getting the deal in place in principle so that they can get more money for the club. Surely they'll realize they can't stick around that long. Is that what you think, Christian?
Yeah, I think so. But in the same sense, I wouldn't be completely mad if they didn't leave. If they stayed, it is what it is. Like, yo, you stuck through it. But, I mean, at some point, China got to get out of it. You know what I mean? Like, you're a Chinese company. People got to understand, in a communistic economy, the government has say in everything that goes on with that company, no matter what. Mm. So it's one of those things.
Yeah. Getting like a new stadium would obviously do wonders for our revenue. We wouldn't have to pay tax to the city of Milan anywhere near as heavily as we do now. We also wouldn't have to, we wouldn't be sharing it with AC Milan either, because they're in the process of building their own stadium as well. Isn't that right, Mario?
I guess so.
I thought we were sharing.
I thought it was. Are we going to share the new one as well? I thought they were breaking away to make a new one each.
No, they're sharing.
So what's going to happen to this old stadium here? Not the whole vicinity in general. What are they doing with this one then?
Remember, this is supposed to get built right next to it, and then they're supposed to get rid of it and put a whole green area there. That's why when you see the pictures of the new stadium, you see the new stadium, and then you see a miniature stadium thing with a bunch of trees and flowers and plants.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's just something that's just going to have to wait until if it actually passes and gets approved, then we can actually start talking for real. Otherwise, it's all just speculation at this point. Next thing on the list is the contract extension for Nico Barella. This is going to be a big one. This is going to be until 2026 as well. And the incentive on top of this one comes with the captain's armband as soon as Samir Handanovic walks away. Mario, are you coming around to this, or does it still make you really, really nervous, man?
Well, with me, I mean, I always say Handanovic is, you know, his time is limited. This is probably going to be his last year.
Not really about the Handanovic, more like the captaincy going to Nico. You think it's the right decision to give it to him?
Yeah, it's got to be either him or it's got to be Skriniar or maybe even De Vrij, I'm going to say. Because Brozovic also is in the mix. There's a bunch of people that are, you know, probably ahead of him in line. So that 2026 deal for the captaincy you might see like the 2024 date for the captaincy if he stays that long. So
right.
I don't know. As long as Brozovic is here, I think he's going to have the priority because I believe he's vice captain. And then, you know, Skriniar, De Vrij, whoever it is, I think he's lower in the pecking order. I mean, plus, I don't think he really earned it yet. I mean, he's still a young player. He's still got a hot head. You know, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes if he's like a leader in the locker room. I'm sure he is, but, you know, to what extent? Especially when you have like heavier, more, I don't want to say more professional personalities in there, but, you know, you got some like the Perisic's and whatnot. So you got people that are, they're the hierarchy. So he's still a young, guns blazing, balls to the wall kind of guy. He's got like 18 kids at the age of 21. So, you know, maybe he's more mature than some of them. Like, I don't know, maybe Alexis, who the fuck knows? But, you know, I don't know if captaincy is in there yet. It may be like a clause where there's consideration or like a vice captaincy sort of thing. But for captain straight up, I don't know about that.
I like what you said about like there's a clause in there that it's kicking in at about 2024. That could be the right idea. And maybe it's the right idea to give Brozovic that contract extension and to give him the armband. We know that Brozo and Barella are very, very tight together on and off the pitch. So there could be something that working there. Christian, what's your say on the whole captaincy thing? Like, where do you think it's going in the next 4 to 5 years? Is it going over multiple people?
No, I think Barella is the right choice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go on.
I mean, the only other people you were talking about is who, Skriniar? I don't have a problem with it. I kind of feel like Barella would be the right choice. He's young. He's Italian. You're getting back to having that Italian core of a captain. It's not a foreigner. I mean, which I'm not against a foreigner being a foreigner myself. But it would just speak volumes to have the best midfielder in Italy to be the captain.
Yeah. I also, like, this season, I've noticed he's still keeping up that little bit of attitude on the pitch, even to the referee, but he's also knowing when to walk away a little bit earlier this season and to just make sure that the game is still in interest trajectory, whereas last season he was known to get carded a lot more. So I am seeing some growth. And as Mario said, that the guy does have a lot of kids for his age, so seems to be a responsible family man, you'd hope so. Besides the Udinese game, the Sheriff one coming up, the derby's around the corner. I know it's a fixture that we get really, really pumped for. I know I get nervous for the Juve game, but I get really, really pumped for the Milan game. So in a situation where in the next week I don't get to speak to these two gentlemen, I'd like to talk about the derby now. Christian, despite what happens between them, there's only one domestic fixture. We play Udinese, Milan play Roma. How do you think the derby's going to go, man? Because we need this one. We really do. Milan got the best of us in the first derby last year, but we all knew that they weren't going to carry that on. Do you see us shifting the tide, bro? Are we going to win this first derby?
Yeah, I think we'll beat them. I mean, we own Milan, bro. Hate to say it, but that's our bitch. Excuse my language.
I don't think you hate to say it. How do you think the game's going to go, man? Where's it going to be won?
I think it's going to be won in the midfield.
Hmm.
I just think Barella is going to outclass him, and I would not be surprised if they put Hakan in, and Hakan just, he bangs one and celebrates.
Mario, what are you saying about the derby coming up, man? I reckon it's going to be a hot-headed one, bro.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the better derbies that we've seen in a while. We're still trying to figure things out. We're like not a complete team yet. We have the basis, the foundations, but I feel like we're not 100% there where Milan's closer to having their full bearings like from the get-go. So I'm not as confident as I would be from, let's say, last year. I think Inzaghi's going to have a tougher time than Conte would in a fixture like this. Sure, Conte lost last year, whatever, but you know, it's like 9 out of 10, you're going to win. I think it really comes down to, like Christian said, the middle and our attack, because we have to be efficient. Efficiency has been something that I've been noticing that's it's not efficient enough for me, where we have Dzeko missing easy goals, Lautaro just not getting enough of those chances or finishing the chances that he does. Like, yes, he does put on the stats, don't get me wrong, but he could have more. It's asking for a lot, but at the same time, if you're one-on-one with the goalie, you got to score. If you got a header in the 6-yard box, you got to score those, you know, like for both of them. And especially the depth. Joaquin, whoever comes in off the bench, if it's Calhanoglu, Vecino, Damian, whoever the case is, they have to be able to perform. Dumfries, even if he comes on, they're going to win us the game. I think it's going to be with the subs also. So Inzaghi has to get those subs right, and I think he's been doing a good job with them this year. I feel like he has been, but like I said, he's still figuring it out. And 2 weeks, I'm not as confident. So I could see us stealing a tie or winning, but I'm leaning more towards a tie in that.
It's just Milan are just riding this confidence and luck wave right to the 95th minute. But I'm just hoping that it falls. And I'm really hoping Jose is the one to do it, man. Like, I'd love nothing more than for Jose to ruin their party with Roma this weekend, man. Christian, take yourself off mute to finish off for today. Do you reckon Roma can do it? You reckon Jose and the gang will get it done against Milan?
Yeah, I think Mourinho is going to get it done. I think Mourinho will pipe him, and I'm just going to laugh.
I hope so, bro.
I think they'll lose the Roma, they'll lose the Porto, then they'll lose to us, and it's crisis Milan all over again.
Do they have to go to Portugal, or are they playing in Milan midweek?
They're playing in Milan, but okay. Yo, last game, Porto completely like dominated them, dude. I don't see them doing anything against that Porto team. They're nice.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll see what happens, man. It's going to be a long season. Plenty more content to come. Udinese for me is a 10:30 p.m. kickoff on Sunday, which is actually a luxurious time. I love that. That's going to be an easy, easy watch. What time is it for you then, Mario, in New York?
Sunday.
7:30
in the morning, right?
It's 7:30 because daylight savings time starts next week for us.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
You're going to sleep through that at 7:30? Are you serious in the morning? You're lazy as. It's
too early.
I watch the 6 a.m. games, so don't give me that shit, Mario.
Oh, man. I'm at River, bro. No, 10:30 is good. 10:30 is really good. That means a good sleep. Christian, your quick comment on Juve conceding that last-minute goal to Sassuolo, because that was the first thing I saw in the morning when I woke up. I woke up, went to sit down, open it up, and they were actually on the counter-attack. I'm like, this doesn't look real. What's going on here?
See?
Yeah, he did the celebration too. And the shit thing is, Allianz Stadium was like one-third empty.
Yo, dude, like, you got to understand something, man. Like, this Juve is not the same Juve. People don't understand that. I still think they're going to finish in the top four just because of who they are. If they finish in fifth or sixth, it wouldn't shock me, but I'm more thinking they're going to get in fourth. I feel bad for Allegri just because of the simple fact that they're all trying to throw him under the bus. But he came into a burning building, bro. Like, he's trying to put out all the fire, like, it was legitimately a mess. This team is not his team. He hasn't been able to put his identity to it. You know, before he'd sit there and yell, die, telling everybody, hurry up and go. He don't do that now. He can't do that. He doesn't have those players. What was it? Sadi said it. He said, these guys are uncoachable. He's like, they're uncoachable. Mm. So, you know, you got to let Allegri come in and clean ship. But the problem with that is they gave these guys some stupid contracts that nobody's going to get. Aaron Ramsey making like $7 million. Who's gonna pay for that? I wouldn't. You know, I don't think no club would pay $7 million for Aaron Ramsey. They just gave out so many stupid deals. And this is what comes best out of having Marotta. Marotta makes smart moves, smart deals. The Zeko deal alone was just genius. He still pulled Hakan free. We still had a good market, a good enough market. I'd give it like a 8.5, a 9 out of 10 with what we had. We didn't spend much money. We didn't do anything.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I'm happy that we didn't get him, to be honest, bro. Although I really thought that we were for about 2 days straight. I was like, who else is it going to be?
I mean, it made sense. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. It made a lot of sense to get him. It's continuity. You know what you're going to get. The problem is it's not the football I want to see. You get what I mean? Mm. Getting Inzaghi was probably the best thing just because we finally get an attacking brand, something that we've all been wanting. Second is just for the players we have, for these players to be that, have that type of ability to express themselves creatively. Look at Barella. He's had 9 assists already in 10 games. He had, what, like 6 assists all 35 games last year, 36 games last year? Like, you got to sit there and give the man credit. He's getting the best out of the players we have. Look at Vidal. Vidal looks completely rejuvenated under Inzaghi. He looks better under Inzaghi than he did under Conte.
Mm.
And this is a Conte guy.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Like, this Vidal is like the better version of Vidal than the Juve Vidal. The reason I say that, this is post-Barcelona. You get what I mean? He's a better passer. He's better with the ball on his feet. I don't care what anybody says. When you go to Barca, you're going to pick up on some of those habits. You're going to pick up on them. So yeah, well said, bro. I just think it was legitimately the best move that we did. I'm glad. I'm happy for it. You know, I hope we can do more with Inzaghi. I would not be completely against, you know, us just holding on and sticking with it. I still think he pulls the Scudetto. I still does. It's going to be one of those things like Sadi. You know, he came into a winning team already, a team that knows how to win. So they're going to win it for him anyways. It's not going to be like Inzaghi was the masterclass of the reason why we won Scudetto. It was just continuity. That's it.
Yeah, fair call. That's going to wrap us up on another Inter Worldwide podcast. It was episode 90 today. Thank you to all the people that joined in the chat. And thanks to Mario Galliano for joining as well.
Thank you. Always a fun time with you guys.
And my friend Christian Rivas, all the best to you, man. We'll chat soon. All right. Yeah. From all of us there at Inter Worldwide, let's get 3 punti against Udinese. Forza Inter. Ciao, ragazzi.
Bye-bye.